In the spring of 2009, John Schwartz got a distress call from his wife. His 13-year-old son, Joe, was on his way to the hospital after a failed suicide attempt. Joe, a socially awkward but smart boy, had finally mustered the courage to come out as gay to his classmates, who responded with discomfort and dismay. Hours later, he took dozens of Benadryl capsules with the intention of killing himself. Oddly normal, one family struggle to help their teenage son come to terms with his sexuality is by John Schwartz, a New York Times journalist. The book, At the Core, is the story about Joseph, Jean and John's gay child. John Schwartz is a national correspondent with The Times, where he's covered law, science, technology, business, and a broad range of other topics. And it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Good to have you here. The name of the book, again, Oddly Normal, One Family Struggle to Help Their Teenage Son Come to Terms with His Sexuality. It is interesting in the sense that Joseph self-identified himself as gay as early as 8, wanted to come out at 13 and did, but you and Joe's mom both felt that this was, even as young as a toddler, you had your intuition that he was gay.
Right. We started with intuition and moved on to no doubt over time. Joe was, and not every person who grows up gay is girly, but Joe was really, really, loved walking around the house in a feather boa and a spangled top. He'd ask, "Mommy, do I look like a disco yeti?" You know, he was, to use the phrase of Hank Stuver, a writer for the Washington Post, he was a fabulous 5-year-old. Lots of people grow up to be gay who show no girliness when they're little, but Joe, you just had a sense, and it's not like you say at the age of 3, "Well, this kid's clearly gay," but you sort of put it in the back of your mind as part of the mosaic, this emerging image of who is this guy, what's he going to turn out to be.
Assuming you put a child like that into a, if there is such a thing, a quote-unquote normal school environment, I assume he encountered trouble right away.
Well, not right away, but before long. The fact is, a kid like Joe, first of all, so sort of hyperverbal, he was emotionally immature, but on top of everything else, he was different. You know, he's different in a lot of ways, but this underlying question of sexual orientation, not necessarily any overt sexuality, but just his orientation, he was far more interested in talking with the girls than the boys. The boys were really interested in sports, playing sports, and knowing what's going on with the different professional teams of the area. And Joe had no interest in that, so he didn't really have a lot to talk about with the boys. But by the time you get into elementary school, start moving along, the girls decide that boys are yucky. And so you end up with a boy in the middle who doesn't feel quite comfortable on either team.
When he was coming to terms as early as 8 with his sexuality, how did you decide to handle it in-house, if you will, of as parents, in helping him deal with that sort of, a man without an island?
Well, you know, we knew that he was feeling a bit isolated, and we tried to make him feel comfortable at home. And over time, as he entered adolescence, he was more and more of a sort of black box to us. He was less willing to talk about things, less willing to talk about things that were bothering him. And so I did what I do. I'm a reporter. I've got plenty of gay friends. I asked various friends, what would you have done? How would you have tried to make, how would you have wanted your parents to help you be more comfortable and happier? For one thing, would you, if you felt that if you were keeping your sexual orientation a secret, would you have wanted your parents to encourage you to come out? Would you have wanted them to push you out with a direct confrontation? And one by one, I'd approach these friends, and they all pretty much said, "No, don't push. Unless he's really in a crisis, this is. If he feels it's a secret, it's his secret. And when he wants to reveal it, he will reveal it. He'll reveal it his way, on his clock. And it's not up to you to push." Now, there are people who feel that pushing is the way to go. There's a whole line of reasoning about that.
Yeah.
But these friends said, "Let this unfold on its own. And by the way, when he does tell you, don't turn it into a joke. Don't say, 'Oh, you're the last to know.' Don't say, 'We've known this for years.' This is not something that you can turn into a funny story for your friends. This is a very important moment for him, and respect it." They said, while they didn't want us to, this group of people who Gene and I ultimately referred to as the League of Gay Uncles, they didn't say, push. They did say, especially one friend said, "Make sure through your conversation and the topics you bring up at home, make sure that you talk about sexuality, that you talk about acceptance of homosexuality, that you talk about issues that of gay life, like same-sex marriage. Bring them up at home and let your son know where you stand, even if you're not going to talk to him directly about it. He won't." And Joe was very sensitive at the time. If we started talking about such things and we were at the table, he would get up and go into his room. He was standoffish about it all. But as the friend said, he won't listen, but he'll hear you.
One of the things that you write about in the book, and I find it fascinating, is that obviously you're dealing with this, and you're dealing with your son, and navigating those choppy waters. The school and school administrators would see that your son is having problems, and they would try to get to the root of the problem, and there would be as you say, a flavor of the month diagnosis: ADHD, sensory integration disorder, oppositional defiance disorder, Asperger's, bipolar. It went on and on. And at no point were they willing to accept what you had already accepted, was that he's having these problems because of his sexuality and how he's been being treated by other students in the school.
Right, and we're not saying there wasn't anything else going on. In fact, you know, there were clearly some psychological issues as well. Every kid is going to be a mixed bag of things. But we felt that whatever he was dealing with, whatever the behaviors that flowed out from that, whatever problems he was having, we felt they were being made worse by the strain of feeling that he had his secret, the strain of concealing the secret, and the feeling of isolation and being where it happened, being treated badly by others, that all of these things made any problem he had worse. And we felt that if we could sort of untangle the sexual orientation question, a lot of other things would relax as well, that some of these other issues would start to get better. And in fact, that's how it worked, that once Joe was out, and once we got past the sort of explosive and sort of frightening stuff that happened right then, that in fact he calmed down, he accepted himself, he was more accepted by others because they had a label for him that worked for them. You know, he was the gay kid in high school. Mm-hmm. It's fine to be the gay kid. You know, every kid's looking for his label, not necessarily a diagnostic label, but where you stand in the world. Are you one of the jocks? Are you one of the smart jocks? Are you one of the hippies? And being the gay kid is a perfectly acceptable thing to be in a lot of schools today.
And
in
you,
my high school in the 1970s, maybe not so much, but we're living in a different time.
And to put a, just to highlight it, to realize what a strain it was for him, that an option was to take his own life.
Well, yeah. And you know, you hope that nobody ever has to go through that. But if you do, then you hope it turns out the way things are turning out for us. I mean, you know, this story certainly isn't over. But Joe is in a much better place at the age of 16. He's a happier guy. He's a steadier guy. And you know, there are ups and downs, and every day is different, but it feels like emerging on the other side of a bad time.
I was going to say, I mean, this happened 3 years ago where he tried to commit suicide, and he has worked, and as the subtitle of the book suggests, one family struggle to help their teenage son come to terms with his sexuality. So there is a coming to terms, and yet we're only 3 years into this, and there's still many tough roads ahead, aren't there?
Well, absolutely. But at the same time, he's not alone anymore.
Right.
It's not, you know, he's not trying to suppress a secret, live with a secret, or feel that there's something wrong with him. And he's got a community. That is, as soon as he came out, we were able to start bringing him into Manhattan to the Gay Center. Well, the Gay Center has a youth program, Youth Enrichment Services, that is terrific. And they have a weekly group discussion where the kids talk about issues in their lives. And it's a community discussion. And Joe gets to see other kids and see what they've been through and put his problems in perspective. And once he got into high school, there was a Gay Straight Alliance in the high school, which has been enormously helpful. And even just going to theater camp lets him know that he's not the only guy like Joe.
And what are his career ambitions at this point?
Well, it's a little early to say. He talks about things, but we're, you know, he
but you're going through all the
college yet.
No, but you're going through all the normal.
Right, we're talking about all the normal things. We're
right.
You know, he's a junior in high school. We're looking at colleges.
Yeah.
We're looking at colleges that have a good, strong, supportive environment for gay students, but also for kids who might be emotionally vulnerable. Joe's got a little bit of a learning disability. His handwriting is very difficult for him. He uses a keyboard. Some of those issues, you want to find a school that's really supportive on those fronts as well. And you know, I didn't know what career I was going to pursue till I was 26 or 27. So I'm letting Joe feel his way.
You got time. Nothing but time. Oddly Normal is the name of the book. One family struggle to help their teenage son come to terms with the sexuality. The book is published by Gotham. John Schwartz, a pleasure to have you
on
the program.
So much.
Thank you for sharing. I appreciate it.
Right,
you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.